Thanksgiving week. So this week I want to finish my series that I've been doing about I love my church and giving you reasons about why the church is important and why it's important that you are a part of a church family and to recognize the value that each of you have to the continuation of our body called Liberty Baptist Church. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. And so if you want to find one of the Bibles there in front of you, we'll be reading that together in just a moment. How many of you have a coat chest or some kind of a trunk that you keep things from the past? You keep either maybe great-grandma's quilt or some type of important item. Trunks are used for keeping things like that, right? There's one at the foot of our bed in the parsonage that Greta has, and she's had it since she was a kid, I think. She's kept, you know, different items. I think your band jacket's in there. I'm not really sure. Majorette stuff. There's a lot of stuff from... Flag furler. Sorry. See, I can't even talk about that. So, anyway, she has a lot of old stuff in there. So you all have trunks like that at home too, I'm sure. Poke chests, maybe you're keeping an actual one or at least something precious that you pass down to future generations. And my point with that is these are treasures. These are treasures that we hang on to, not for the pleasure of hoarding or for their value necessarily, but we hang on to them because they might mean something to those coming behind us. Those that we can explain where we've been in the past. Also, where we hope to go in the future. What does our family stand for? And the value of this item, some things we hope will skyrocket, right? So, I mean, you know, you keep dishes. I know over at the farm in Ohio, your Greta's mother kept a whole cabinet full of glassware, all kinds of different rare glass pieces that probably today aren't worth 50 cents, but in her mind, they were going to be worth a lot of money, and they were going to be something that was going to bring value on shows like the Antique Roadshow or maybe the Pickers, American Pickers, or something like that. But in my mind, you know, I have a blue wheel of china that my grandmother, whatever, when it first came out in the early 1900s, it has been in our family since that time, several pieces, not a complete set. And of course, Greta has added to that as she's went around the different flea markets and different places and tried to increase that. But in reality, this was something that was important. It was a connection for my grandmother to pass down to my mom. And then my mom and my grandmother made me promise that I wouldn't get rid of it. So it's in the parsonage, in a cabinet, right, dedicated just solely to it. But it is beautiful, and it is something that when I look at it, and when I touch it, and when we eat special meals, we'll eat Thanksgiving dinner on that blue wheel of china. And it's something that allows me to connect with my family. It allows me to understand, to realize that value. But this story attached to it that I've just shared with you, it's being saved because it holds hope. It holds a promise. It holds memories, and it holds value for the future, hopefully a connection for my family to where they were in the past and where they come from. And so to put it in a box, to put it away, to store it, is really a sacrifice in some ways. So there are some things that you just don't want to put away, but you can't really hold on to it all the time. You can't use it right now because you want it available for someone else to have and to hold it in the future. And so this is the exact concept of what we're talking about in the early church. And the one very serious way that we get to love our church is by giving. Let's read this passage together. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own. But all things were common property to them, and with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as anyone had need. And this was from the English Standard Version. What was on the screen was NIV. I have a clip that I think sets forth how most of us feel about possessions. When it comes to possessions, when it comes to what we want, the first church knew how to help each other, to love one another. And I wonder how long it took before someone decided they needed to hang on to some of their stuff. And I wonder if when we start holding tightly to our bank accounts or to things, sometimes this is what it might sound like to God. When we start talking about our money and our stuff and our, when in reality, God gave it all to us. So the first thing that we need to do in order to live as the old church did was to release our grip. In verse 32, the passage says, "Not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him was his own." The first church had a loose grip. And in case we're quick to say, as some of you might, well, I don't know, did they give it all away? They didn't have a lot. It was easy for them to have a looser grip. And so to you, I say, remember Ananias and Sapphira. Do you remember the story of them? They kept and they lied to the church. They lied to God about what they had given back. And what happened to them? They were killed. They were struck dead because they lied about how loose their grip was. They lied to God. And so this is not the place to make excuses for being seagulls. The truth is, everything we have is not ours. It never was. It's God's, and we're the bank. He invests with us and hopes to see a good return on his investment, and his measurement for that good return is not the same as what most of us would measure it, but it's how we love others with what we have. Release your grip. It's not yours. And you know, this is a hard sermon for you to hear as it is for me to preach. It's hard. Trust me. Because this isn't a simple message about give to the church. Give everything you have to the church. We'll be the stewards and we'll decide where to send it to. And we'll just keep a small administrative fee. We'll be the clearinghouse. That's not what the Bible's telling us here. The Bible is telling us that you each have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to demonstrate my love of God by giving to each other directly. Now that doesn't mean that we can't give to the church, and I'm not saying that, because buildings and curriculum and programs are important. They're tools that we use and we can guide people collectively to. But the fault comes, and we fail to live up to the requirement of what this scripture tells us to do, when we fail to meet the needs of people because we're just trying to take care of what we have, which is things like this building and keeping that particular program that we like alive. And so the second thing that we need to do is tighten our belt, make room in our budgets to help people. Our church is doing a great job of that. We've done a lot of things over the last 7 years, and even before that. At this 150th anniversary, you can look back through that book that's out there. I hope all of you have gotten a copy of it. But if you look back through that, you're going to see many times that you all tightened your belt, that this church tightened their belt and made room in their budget to help people. Because that's exactly what the first church was doing. It says in verse 34 and 35, "For there was not a needy person among them." Can you imagine that? Not any needy person among them. We're sort of going through a season of that right now. You know, the Deacon Fund, six, 7 years ago when I first came here, and Deacon can tell you, he was one of the first deacons that we had, we were constantly giving that money out. There was a need within our church body. But over the last year or two, we've actually seen a decrease in that. And so we've been able, praise God, that people's needs are being met. People's needs are being met, either with our resources or resources we can connect them to other places. But we are meeting the needs of our fellow Christians. You know, the hope chests that I'm talking about, the first church didn't keep them. They were not storing things up for a rainy day. They weren't even hanging on to their personal property. They sold everything, and they liquidated it. And the purpose was to get rid of it all so that they could demonstrate their love of God. Now, I'm not proposing that we go out and sell everything we have and move into the fellowship hall in the gym together. I'm simply suggesting that if our lifestyles, mine included, keep us from being generous with the people around us, that it's time to tighten our belts, just as those in the early church were doing. Things like, maybe I need a less expensive car. Maybe I don't need a brand new vehicle every couple of years. Maybe it's time to drop cable TV. Maybe, I don't know. That's going to be rough. Maybe I just need to live on some kind of budget so that I can meet needs when they're presented. And that was a lesson that I didn't learn until late in life. And that's a lesson that every person has to meet. I believe in Dave Ramsey's financial peace seminars that he has. And I have helped guide many people through that, including Greta and I myself went through that program. Ourselves went through that program. It's important that you realize how to budget. And that you realize that there's not an infinite supply of funds growing on a tree somewhere in a backyard. Things like, we need to be able to help out when that single mom who's riding the bus to work because her car is broken down. The family whose dad lost their job and might lose their home. The retiree who has to choose among prescriptions because he can't afford them all. And that promising college student who may have to drop out of school for lack of funds. These are all examples of people in the last 7 years that we have helped. You see, I'm not talking about the homeless folks that we just gave meals to a couple weeks ago after the 150th that lived down in Longhaven. I'm talking about people within our own church family. We need to help them. We need a way to communicate love for our church by making sure we are not neglecting the needs of one another. And the only way that we do that is if we know what the needs are. Now, I started out this series talking with you about the fence, right? The second week, you remember the story about the fence? That you have the front yard, everything that's in front that everybody gets to see, and then you have the backyard. And, you know, we just got a backyard moment with Joyce up here, didn't we? Because she wanted to share that. Why? Because she loves you. And because she doesn't want you to have that experience. And so, you know, we're going to come around her and we're going to help her as she deals with that. But she wanted you to see and live with her in that moment, in reality. There isn't one of you in this room who hasn't gotten an email or a telephone call or some type of a scam attempted on you. Not one of you. This is the world we live in today. It's a tool that they use. They even call the church and they try to scam you. They try to get you to switch electric companies or do this or do that so that they can, they find all kinds of ways. They threaten you with things that are realistic, like a relative is going to jail, or that they have information that you are a bad person and they're going to out you to the community. All kinds of things. And you know they're lies, but the reality is you don't want to go through that because you know that people believe lies. They believe it. And so you don't want to have to deal with that. But anyway, the point is that we have to know what the needs are. How do we know what the needs are? If you tell us or if we can see. We need to be able to see over that fence. There should not be a fence between each of us. Or if it is, it may be just one of those little hedge fences, right? Maybe we could just at least have a delineated area where you don't cross that line unless I give you permission, right? You can see, but you can't touch, sort of thing, right? No, that's not what the Bible tells us. I love my church. All of these things that we've been talking about, it talks about you have to be able to demonstrate your responsibility to tell what those needs are. But we also have a responsibility to know each other deeply enough that we recognize them, to look well past the fences and know each other. And once we've loosened our grips and tightened our belt, then we have the opportunity to number three, which is give it all away. Once the first church ditched its mine mentality, no one ever had a need. Needs were always met so fervently, it says in verse 33 through 34, and with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all, for there was not a needy person among them. Can you imagine being able to go out and profess in our community that there is not a needy person in our congregation? Can you imagine that we can go out and say that there is not one person at Liberty Baptist Church whose basic needs are not being met? Jesus would have to return, you know, right? The Bible says that's the way they lived in the first church. There was not a needy person among them. And what was the result of that generosity? A testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you give some of your deep treasure, when you sacrifice and you make a sacrifice to give to someone else in our church community or in our community, guess what? Jesus is glorified. Because that's not a usual thing. The world is not used to that. The world is used to the chest, right? They're used to hoarding. They're used to keeping things back for a rainy day and not having the faith to believe that God will provide when the time comes. Testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. People knew the truth of Jesus because the apostles in the first century church were busy giving their money and possessions to one another. It wasn't a service project. It wasn't a homeless shelter. It wasn't a missions program. It was one another. The testimony was present because they were loving one another. You know, we've spent centuries trying to get beyond the four walls of the church. And so this message that I'm preaching to you this morning, to impact our community, we have to take care of each other. To impact our community, we have to take care of each other. Now, I'm not saying that we need to have a spiritual country club or that we need to have, you know, some sort of speciality. But it tells me, this passage is telling me that we have something wrong if we aren't caring for each other as well as caring for our community. And by caring for each other, we will be caring for our community. Because we all have families. We all are able to testify. Our primary goal, everything we do on Sunday morning, everything I do Monday through Sunday, every day, 24/7, 365 days a year, is to bring glory to God and to bring souls to see the salvation of Jesus Christ. Everything. Every bill I pay, everything that we do is to bring salvation to the lost. And so, if we just ask God to bless our offerings, if we asked Him to pray and to give us opportunities to be able to share with each other and to take care of needs, we will be able to say that we love our church. We will be able to give to each other as the first church did. As we prepare to have our invitation hymn, if you aren't a part of a church, I need to share with you. This week, I was able to witness in the midst of all the adversity that's going on with Kathy and her family, her son Robbie accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. On her porch, out in front of and at her bedside, we were able to witness to Robbie and bring him to the Lord Jesus Christ. He prayed the salvation, the sinner's prayer. He accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. So when you see Robbie, you give him the right handshake of fellowship because he is your brother. And so he is your brother. He's not your sister. He's your brother. You're his brother or sister. How's that? But praise God, had the opportunity in the midst of all the suffering and all the pain and the other just nightmares that we've had this week, we still had the opportunity to bring someone to salvation. God is good. All the time. God is good. Amen. Amen. And as we go into this Thanksgiving, if you need to count your blessings, if you need to find out who it is that which body of Christ you need to be a part of, if you love your church, but you want to be a, and you haven't came forward to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to be a part of that, come forward as we sing our invitation hymn this morning. Count your blessings.
See what God has.